Have you ever read something? Oh, you're reading, it's a paragraph, or you get to the bottom of the page, and you stop and say,
well, I thought I'd just read.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. You go back and read it again. You know, you keep looking at it. You ever have that happen? That happened a lot to me when I was in seminary. A lot of theologians, a lot of the scholars we would read, sometimes I'd read a page and go, oh, no, wait a minute, let me go over that. Or I'd go across the hall to one of my professors, John Meyer, and ask him a question, what this means. It seems to me that, and it, perhaps it's true in some field that you've been a part of, you've studied, some people, particularly scholars, it seems to me, write what I describe in a very dense way. You know, they use words that have this immense meaning to them. You know, and you put a few of those words in one sentence, and it just comes out at you. You have to, whoa, what does this mean? What does this mean? I find it sometimes helpful when I don't get what they're saying to perhaps go to somebody who writes about them to help understand. It's like a translator, you know, in some way. Well, I want to present to you today a theologian, a scientist, spiritual writer, who to me, that was my experience of reading his work, but it's worth engaging with. This is someone who is a priest, actually a Jesuit, someone devoted to scholarship, and as the Jesuits are, committed to social justice and development of the world. He was also a paleontologist, a geologist, a scientist. He lived from the 1880s to about 1955 when he passed away. His name is Teilhard de Chardin. He's a French theologian who has had a tremendous influence on my thinking. But I find his writings to be very difficult to engage with. And others have helped me to kind of understand him. So I want to say that if you go to read Teilhard, very difficult to read, but there's a depth to what he has to say. So from that world of science, geology, paleontology, and theology, he's developed some incredible ways of understanding the reality in which we live. Early on in his life, much of his writings were not accepted by the church. As a matter of fact, he was almost silenced. It wasn't until the 40s or 50s, almost near his death, that not only did his writings become accepted, but they began to be recognized as being so profound, and also had a deep influence on some of the work of the 1960s and in the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican Council of Vatican II. I want to share with you one of the thoughts that he provides, and it really feeds me as we walk through this season of Advent. Teilhard used this understanding that all of creation, all of the cosmos, was created by the Creator. We use the word, perhaps, God. He also uses the word, the Christ. The Christ was present from before time. Created by the Holy One. And that creation is not necessarily something that happened, but that creation is something that is happening. You know, if you read the stories of Genesis, those early creation mythical stories, they really give a sense that this is not something that just happened once, but it is an ongoing process. And he believed that we've come from that place, from the Creator. He referred to that as the Alpha. He used the Greek letters. The first letter of the alphabet is Alpha. And that all of creation is evolving and moving towards its end. But by end, he doesn't mean some sort of tragic ending. But rather by end, he means that all of creation, all of this cosmos, is moving towards its fullness. Towards its fullness. And that fullness is the end. All of creation to move. And we are part of that. We are a part of that creative process. And we move with that. And he refers to that as the Omega. So he uses the Alpha and the Omega. We come from this source. We come from this creative God. We come from this Christ. And we move towards its fullness. He also suggests that this Christ came among us. This Christ walked among us in Jesus and gave us just a glimpse, just a slight sense of what this fullness can look like. This wondrous creative God came among creation to give us that hint of what it could look like. But it seems like we weren't ready for that. That's another season of the liturgical year. This fullness was too much. And Jesus was crucified, died, was raised again. And Teilhard would suggest that this Christ, this fullness, will return as we evolve and as creation continues to work towards its fullness. And that's what's meant by the second coming. The second coming. That all of creation is moving towards this fullness, this richness. And that we are, in the midst of it, we are a waiting people, a watchful people, a hopeful people. Hopeful not in the sense that, you know, sometimes you use the word hope. I don't think it's going to happen, but I sure hope it does. Kind of. Hope means there's an assurance of something happening, and we rest in hope as we see it happen and evolve and move forward. We may not see that in our lifetime, but we are part of that movement. We are part of that journey. We are part of this creation that evolves and develops before us into its fullness. It's such a rich understanding. I got to be honest with you. You know, some of our Christian brothers and sisters will talk about the end time in such, to me, strange ways, as if, you know, somebody was elected president of some Middle Eastern country and they're going to bomb this other country, and see in Revelation it says that when these nations rise up against each other, the end time is near. I got to be honest with you. I don't have a whole lot of patience for that. I find it, I don't want to offend anybody, but I find it childish. And not rich. Not rich. There's a series of books, you know, the Left Behind series. It just doesn't speak to me of the fullness of what we are about. We are part of something wondrous. We are part of something beyond even our own experience of life. Teilhard is not just talking about our life here, but the entire cosmos. He was even once challenged and said, well, what if, because he was living in the 1940s and 50s, what if we did blow up the earth? And he kind of said, it wouldn't destroy the cosmos. That's a pretty humbling thing to think about. We can sometimes define all of creation, all of reality, as if it's ours. But it's much broader than that. And that's what Teilhard was calling us to and inviting us to. Does that make sense? And so during this season of Advent, that's what this season is about. It's this season where we are watching and waiting and hopeful for that fullness, for that, to use the language, that second coming, as we move towards the fullness of life, the fullness of creation. I almost wish Advent came at another time of the year. That may sound contradictory, because we see Advent as somehow preparing for Christmas. But it really isn't. We begin this church year, this calendar year, with this season that calls us to look so far beyond that we cannot even comprehend. Of course, Christmas creeps in to this season of Advent. And we will, rightfully so, celebrate Christmas. We will celebrate the Christ coming among us in the incarnation. This incredible concept that this mighty God, this mighty presence that created this entire cosmos has come among us. We celebrate that at Christmas, and rightfully so. But the season of Advent calls us to reflect upon this journey we're walking together. Jesus the Christ showed us what that could look like. And I would suggest in our lives there are people that we encounter who call us to that. We know it, when we see it. Today we're celebrating St. Nicholas coming among us. And we associate St. Nicholas with many things, but I'd like to suggest to you that St. Nicholas can actually call us to a deeper, richer Advent. St. Nicholas was someone who, in his life, grew up in a very wealthy family, it's said, and he gave up all of that. He gave up all of that to work with the poor, to work with the homeless. He gave away his resources. Talk about justice. Talk about stewardship. Talk about transformation. Talk about giving up to make a difference in the world. That was St. Nicholas. And to this day, he's still remembered. And St. Nicholas will be here in a few minutes to be with us. But that's, I'd like to put that in that light for you. This past week, we remember the passing of Nelson Mandela, someone in our midst who called us to something else. And we saw it, and we knew it when we saw it. Can you think of people like that in your lives? I would suggest to you, they're Advent people. People who call us to the fullness of life. People who call us to that end, to the possibility we walk together. So I offer those thoughts to you today of Teilhard de Chardin. I think one of the deep thinkers in our Christian tradition. Someone who's influenced my life a lot. And some people asked me after the 9 o'clock service what books he wrote. And I was telling them some, but I suggested that they not try to start there. I don't want to project my own density on someone else, but I find him very difficult to read. But there are many folks out there who write about Teilhard. And I would suggest to you some reading of that, and I think it will deepen your journey as well. So as we walk through this season of Advent, these next couple of weeks, let us be called to the fullness that we had a vision of in Jesus Christ. And may we be a patient people waiting for this fullness to come about. St. Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, suggested, what is the meaning of original sin? You hear that phrase, original sin? His suggestion was impatience. Impatience. In the mythical story of Adam and Eve, they wanted to know everything now. But God knew they weren't ready for it. And I don't know about you, but impatience pretty much describes my life. Does it yours? We want to know it now. We want to know. We want to hold it. We want to control it. But oftentimes we're called to allow this growth. Allow this movement, as Teilhard suggests to us, happen before us. And let us sit in it, be a part of it, and make it happen. May we engage as a people of faith. May we make a difference in our world. May we, in St. Paul's, be a sign of the Christ, be a sign of the possibility of the fullness of this creation as we walk forward together in faith.